This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, everybody. Trey Wingo here, and the Michael K. Show with Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg starts right now. Question, will this be a day without a Don rant?
Trey, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a beautiful Thursday, May 13th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're all apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours, and the other 19 and a half, your responsibility. But I should amend that. The other 19 are your responsibility, because again, today, a very special Don show from 6:30 to 7.
That's right.
People are very talking about it. It could be a fixture.
No. No. Not under the current contract, no. Favors go as far as they go.
Right. Yeah, sure. Now,
if it's going to be permanent, I'm open to it being permanent, but got to get Russ on the horn.
So you'll gladly take that half hour away from the big fella?
No.
That's his half hour.
No, I understand that's his half hour, but if they were to approach me, I would think that other things were in the works.
Right.
You know, so, but no, everything, it's just because the big fella's filling in
everywhere.
In the morning.
No, everywhere. He's also on Bart and Han with Bob Weasel shoes. Although that's not heavy lifting when you're on with Bob.
Right.
I was in the car, Bob was talking, and he was talking. And he was talking. I got out of the car to get something. I gassed up. I got gas.
Bah!
Got back in the car, turned the radio on. He's still talking. He's amazing.
Well, it's a talk show, Michael.
Yeah, but the other guy has to talk too, Pete. If you do your show alone, yeah, you keep talking and talking and talking and droning and droning and droning. But there's no way that Carlin should be paid for that two-hour stretch. There's no way.
I don't know need for him. Why do they shifted him around? Just let Bob do his show.
So he did the morning show, DCR.
Right.
And then he's doing Bart and Han leading into our show. Interesting.
Well, he did everything, huh?
He really did. Really did. He can really chew up airtime. Anyway, the Knicks are in. They're in.
That's right,
baby. Knicks are in. They didn't even have to play.
You're welcome.
They're in. The Celtics lost again. So the Knicks, after 7 straight seasons in the lottery, they are a playoff team, and they deserve every single congratulation that anybody can give them, because this is well-earned, well-deserved. And I started to think, when's the last time that a team in New York surprised you like this? And it's really hard to come up with one. I mean, obviously the most surprising team of all time, I think the 1969 Mets. No one thought that was going to happen. They ended up winning a world title. But there has to be something that's more recent. And,
well,
and I come up, and this doesn't even come close to what the Knicks are doing, Don. I think of the 2017 Yankees. Nobody thought that they were going to go to the ALCS Game 7 they had traded off all their pieces. But they did. But that's not like this.
The Giants don't get a say here in 11?
No, because, you know, I mean – they made the playoffs. You know, maybe the fact that they beat the Patriots was shocking, but making the playoffs, Don, that wasn't a shock, right?
But here's the equivalent, because you're talking about teams that made runs in the playoffs. Like, we didn't think they'd win a championship or flirt with a championship.
Right.
You're talking about a team that was predicted to be among the worst teams in the league, right?
Yep.
The Vegas over-under was 22 wins, correct?
Yep.
So that means that you are going to be – you're going to be competing for the number one pick in the draft. You're going to be in that kind of stage. And the only other team that was on that level to me was the 06 Rangers. Coming out of a lockout, everybody thought they were going to be one of the worst teams in the league. Sports Illustrated ranked the 30 teams at the time and had them 30th. And they ended up making the playoffs. So that to me is very similar, where nobody had any regard. Like you said, those Giant teams, Peter, the 07 team, they had gone to the playoffs the previous 2 years. The 9-7 2011 team, nobody had winning a Super Bowl, but nobody had winning a Super Bowl when they were like in week 12.
Right.
But, you know, they had they had Eli Manning. They had a really good team.
And a good coach.
And a really good coach and a team that had won before. So that's the only one, the 06 Rangers, who ended up getting swept in the first round. And that's what you're trying to avoid here with the Knicks, is making sure that they get that four seed and can be a little bit more competitive in the first round. But that's the only team that was predicted to be among the worst and still make the playoffs. That's the only one I can think of.
Yeah, that's a different level. It's one thing to exceed expectations. It's one thing when there are no expectations.
And really, there weren't. I mean, you know, people are going to try to rewrite their expectations, but they were supposed to be dreadful. There wasn't that much of a sea change in terms of talent on the team. They brought in different role players, you know, grunt work. They didn't bring in stars. Who's the star they brought in? And then they traded for Derrick Rose later, and although he was a superstar at one point, he's certainly not that now. You know, you don't think that they're going to take this seismic leap with Taj Gibson and Nerlens Noel and Alec Burks and Reggie Bullock. You just don't expect it, and here they are. It's
well,
stunning.
Isn't that
to
why?
Me.
So it's almost like you can have a separate conversation then about, number one, expectations for other New York teams, where they rank. But then how about on an individual level, Michael? You just said it. They didn't bring in any stars, except they did. Julius Randle, for this year, we can't talk about his past. We don't know what his future will be. They got an all-NBA all-star in Julius Randle. When you talk about a player coming in and exceeding expectations, where is he in that conversation?
I keep thinking about this quote. We haven't used it in a while. We quote Steve Young quite a bit, but we haven't used this quote in a long time. And Michael will remember this. We were doing a show from MetLife Stadium before. I believe it was a Jet-Ravens game. And you'll love this, Peter. Who is going to be the guy you're not thinking of at the beginning of the season where everybody's buying his jersey at the end of the season? And I think that's Randle, right? Where it's like, yeah, we know he's on the team. We like him. But, you know, he's not a star. He's not anybody that you're going to go run out and buy his jersey. And now he's the most popular guy on the team and everybody wants his jersey. And the reason he brought that up was like Victor Cruz, right? Those giant teams. Like Victor Cruz, he barely made the team and now he's catching touchdown passes in an important game. That's what you need. Yeah, it's the coaching, but who's going to excel? Like that 06 Ranger team, it was Jágr playing out of his mind, rejuvenating his career, Peter Peruka coming out of nowhere, scoring a bunch of goals. That's what you need. Is to, if you're going to exceed expectations, somebody's going to have to play over his head or somebody's going to have to reestablish himself as a flat-out star, and that's what Randall's done.
And you also have to add in Derrick Rose. And, again, he was acquired midseason in a heist by Leon Rose. But everything is built around Julius Randle. And there's not there's no way that even the Knicks thought that this was going to happen because last year he was, like, pedestrian at best. And they signed him because they couldn't sign any of the big stars. So they had to spend their money
Julius
somewhere.
Randle, where's Julius Randle deal-wise?
He's in the second year of a three-year deal. And now the option, they have an option to pick up the three-year deal. So it's 3 years, like $60 million. But they have an option at the end of this year to extend him long-term, which would cost them less money than if they waited till the end of the third year.
He has
another year left on this deal.
So if they don't pick up the option, and he has another year like he had this year,
the option is the third year, which they'll pick up. But at the end of this year, instead of picking up the option, they could sign him to a long-term deal again, and the max money is a lot less than it would be if they waited till after the third year. Now the gamble here is this a fluke year? Or is he going to continue to get great, and then he's going to cost all that money so much more at the end of the third year? And if you're Julius Randle, do you grab the guaranteed money now, which is not anything to sniff at, or do you wait another year and hope that you double down and play just as well and then get, like, supermax money? So that's a decision that he and his people have to make.
How could it be? Let me ask the question, though. Now that we're looking at 70 games – And he's played in, what, all of them? All but one?
He can miss one game.
So how could that be a fluke? I mean, this isn't Linsanity. This isn't a month. An entire season in the NBA. Could all of a sudden, next year, he become pedestrian again?
I don't think he would become pedestrian again. But let's say you go out and you get Damian Lillard all of a sudden his responsibility in the offense is not nearly what it is. Maybe his numbers go down just a little bit. I don't think he'll ever return to the pedestrian player because, you know, what he's done is he's learned to hit three-pointers. He was never a three-point shooter. And you know, we've talked about this with a number of people on the show at the beginning. Nobody makes that kind of exponential jump as a three-point shooter that he did. So it shows you the amount of work that he's put in as well. And this team works hard. And I think that's a product of Tom Thibodeau's teaching because, you know, the stories are they get off a plane when they land in a city and they don't go to clubs and bars or whatever. Maybe that's because of COVID protocol. But they go right to the gym, and all they do is shoot. And then you got a guy like R.J. Barrett, who was a terrible free-throw shooter. He's not terrible anymore. He's improved his game. Julius Randle went from a bad three-point shooter to a really good three-point shooter. And these are the jumps that you have to make unless you're going to bring in different players. And, you know, they didn't have the options to bring in different players. People didn't want to come here.
What a crazy look at the stats of Julius Randle career-wise when it comes to three-pointers. So he started playing real minutes in 2015-16. For the Lakers. He started playing 28 minutes a game. Michael, his three-point attempts were at 0.4 a game. The next year, attempts, 0.9, 0.5. The first year he starts taking any real three-pointers was in 18-19, where he hit 1.9 made for every 2.7 attempted. So he's shooting 34% from three. The next year, 1 for 3.6. So he was at 27. This year, for an entire season, he attempts 5.4 a game and makes 2.3, 42% from three.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's wild.
It's unbelievable. You just don't see that kind of improvement. So he's not going to win the MVP. I think we know that. But he might win the most improved player. I mean, who else is improved to this level? So it's kind of amazing. And the Knicks deserve to really enjoy themselves. Right now, the way it's shaken out, looks like they might finish sixth. And if they do, they're going to end up playing the Bucks. So I think their playoff run is going to be short-lived. I don't know if the Nets are going to drop down to three. Right now, they have a one-game lead over the Bucks. Bucks have the tiebreaker. So all the Bucks have to do is just make up one game, not two. But we did see Harden return yesterday, and he played well. And Kyrie could have played. They decided not to play him. So over the next couple of days, we're going to see the big three together for only the eighth time all year. Is that going to be enough? And maybe they want to avoid playing the Knicks. And as Mike Green said yesterday on the show, you know, the top three teams certainly don't think they're going to lose to the Knicks, but none of the three wants to play them because it's going to be a really difficult series. It's going to be intense. It's going to be a defensive-minded series, and they play defense, and it's almost like a fly. They won't go away. So I don't think anybody wants to deal with that four, five, or six games. But, again, Knicks fans, if they drop to sixth, even if they go to four, if they go to four and they play the Hawks, they have a chance to advance. If they have the
sixth
seed,
they get to five. If they can pass Miami and get to five and then play as the lower seed against Atlanta.
The Nets. No. If they're five.
They play Atlanta.
No, wait.
They play Atlanta.
Six.
They play
six.
Atlanta. That's what they want to get to. They just want to get to four or five. Because that 4-5 game right now would be Atlanta and Miami. They want to jump into that game and push Miami to playing the Bucks.
Right.
So when you look at what Miami has the rest of the way, of course, they just had the good fortune of playing multiple games against the Boston Celtics, which, as we know, is a guaranteed win. Miami has Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Detroit to close out.
Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Detroit. So Detroit's a win.
And Andrew, are Philadelphia and Milwaukee, is everyone still going absolutely hard through the finish line?
Well, Milwaukee might be. They can't get the one seed any longer. Philadelphia is going hard through the finish line because they want the one seed. They could get it tonight if they win. I don't know if Milwaukee really is from here on out. I think they're pretty much locked into the three.
Well, this is a much favorable schedule, though, no matter how you cut it, for the Knicks, who have San Antonio, Charlotte, and Boston. I mean, Boston's dreadful right now. Let's be honest. They lost to Cleveland last night. So I say all of this to say they could still get that five seed. And, God, that would be favorable. You don't want Milwaukee in the first round. This thing's been fun, and I know everyone's like, oh, bring on Milwaukee, bring on Brooklyn. Who cares? Wouldn't you rather get a series with Atlanta or Miami?
I don't think you want a series with Miami either. You want to play Atlanta.
Atlanta's the gem.
Right. You're going to lose to Miami, too.
Not necessarily.
No, no, you will.
Why do you say that?
Because they're a really good team. They have really great players, and they have an outstanding coach. That's going to be a series where Thibodeau is not the hands-down best coach. I'm not saying he's not as good, but that's a special coach that Miami has. And they have a special culture, and they were in the finals last year, so they know how to win. So I don't think you want to face Miami. You want to face Atlanta. You face Atlanta, you have a chance to win a first-round series. You face anybody else, you're not going to win.
And make no mistake, they're talking in Atlanta wanting the Knicks. For the same reason, right? Because they don't want to have to play the top. They don't want to have to play the Bucks or the Nets. They probably don't want to have to play the Heat either. So the Hawks are thinking the same thing.
Right. Absolutely. But I think the Knicks would beat the Hawks.
Yeah.
Oladipo's out for the year for Miami.
Right.
Butler's health all year has been sort of suspect. He's day-to-day right now. I see what you're saying. Obviously, you prefer Atlanta to Miami. Miami, we know, is capable of doing things in the playoffs that other teams don't seem capable of doing. But no matter what, we all agree, they don't want six.
No, but four is a possibility. They're only half game back of four. And I don't know if home court's going to really matter. I still think they could beat the Hawks as a five seed.
Sure.
So that's what you're looking at. And three very winnable games to close out the season.
Now, also, when the Knicks play their playoff games at the Garden, they're going to up the capacity from 10% to 30%. So the 1,980 that have been there have been very loud. Playoffs, it's going to be 5,712.
Mm-hmm. That's something.
Yeah, that's going to be a loud. That's going to be an advantage. I mean, that's going to affect other teams that come in.
Yeah, that won't be nothing at all. You will, especially with what they've been used to, mm-hmm. you're going to notice, and especially, like I've said, no building, unless you're playing in a full building, of the buildings that are not full, no one's going to be as loud and passionate as the Garden.
1-800-919-3776. Let's see what you're thinking. Let's go to Mel in New Jersey. Mel.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hey.
So I'm thinking the top teams would like to play any other team besides Washington, Miami, and even the Pacers. But I feel like the other teams, the teams are like salivating, hoping that they get them.
So what do you mean? Like so
you mean hoping to get
the top
Knicks?
Teams want to play the Knicks?
I mean, honestly, as a Nets fan, the Knicks played the Nets every time this year without Kyrie. And, you know, the games was close, but, you know, like, it was more physical. But besides that, it was pretty much a good game for the Nets.
No, I hear what you're saying, Mel. And I don't think that any of the top three would lose to the Knicks. But I think the Knicks series would take more out of the top three than other series would. I don't think that the top three would prefer to play Miami either. Because Miami could knock you off. I don't think the Knicks could knock one of the top three teams off. Miami could knock you off. But everybody else, top three would beat Atlanta. They'd beat the Knicks. They would beat Washington. They just would. Miami's the outlier at the bottom of the playoffs because Miami is better than that. They've had an injury-filled year. And if they're even close to healthy, as Peter said, Oladipo's out for the rest of the year. He wants to protect because he's going to be a free agent. They got a chance. They got a chance to beat anybody, even the great teams. There's nothing better than having experience in anything. Experience makes you better. Let's go to Daniel in the Bronx. Daniel.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Thank you. It's the first time on the show. I think this year is the year of the upset. I can't think of any team in either East or West that's a clear-cut favorite. Because usually by this time of the year, you know, you have your teams that go on your run and whatnot. But in the East, I honestly could put the Knicks pretty much anywhere. You could put anybody anywhere. I can't really think of a clear-cut favorite. Yes, the Nets have their big three. But, I mean, that's still up in the air because they haven't played a whole bunch of games together. And honestly, I as a Knicks fan, I'm good with the fact that I'm going to go into the season with a clear mind, thinking that anybody could be a winner. And honestly, the X factor for the playoffs for the Knicks is R.J. Barrett. It hands down has to be R.J. Barrett. If R.J. Barrett doesn't perform, it's a big deal because he's a second time. The Knicks want to see how good is he in the clutch, and that's going to be good for his development. If he does great, I think the Knicks have a good chance of upsetting almost anybody.
Thank you for taking my call. You got it, Daniel. I like your confidence. I don't agree with it. They don't have an, I don't think they have a chance to beat any of the top three. There's a clear divide between the top three and the top, bottom five in the East. There just is. And now if you say Miami deserves to be maybe 3.5 in terms of, you know, the best teams, yes. The bottom teams in the East are teams that have exceeded expectations. They've played very well. They've been gritty. They've been gutty. All of the cliches. But the top three teams are clearly superior in talent. Don't look down your nose at the Bucks either. And I believe that we make a big deal out of the big three having not played together. They're all great players. They're going to figure it out. If they're healthy, I think the Nets are going to ride to the NBA Finals easily if they're healthy. Even though they have no experience together but seven games, they are that good. I'm sorry. They're just great players. Not just that. They're all-time great players. Let's not forget that. All-time great players. Let that sink in. They're not just good now. In the history of the NBA, they will be looked at as some of the greatest players who ever played. And the three of them are on the same team. And then, by the way, there are other really good players on the Nets. Clear cut. To me, even above the Sixers and above the Bucks. And the Sixers are going to finish ahead of them, but the Nets, it seemed like seeding didn't matter to them and all about resting and load management and that. Now you turn them loose. Let's see what you got.
Now, something we have not brought up and not considered, and if you want to use this for a tease, we could do that if you like, Michael, as I'm, you know, looking at the clock.
Sure.
Remember, teams like the Heat, the Lakers, the Celtics, they were playing playoff meaningful basketball in September. And for the Lakers and Heat, into October. And now here we are, we fast forward to May, and they're going to be asked to do it again. Usually you're playing your heavy lifting playoff games in April and May and June, and then not playing them again until a calendar year later. How much has that affected the Heat and the Celtics down the stretch, Peter? Where now they're playing meaningful games, and 5 minutes ago they were playing in the conference final of the finals. And look at what the Lakers have been injury-wise. Look at the Heat have been, underachieving. That's not something the Nets have to worry about or the Bucks. They were bounced in the second round. But how much has the pandemic affected this year's playoffs because of the quick turnaround from the last time these guys had to play in the postseason?
Maybe the best point you've ever made on the show.
It is a good point, and I think that it has affected teams because these are schedules that have never been played before. And LeBron, who never gets hurt, has missed, 18, 20 games. So, yeah, I think it's a big factor. You see the breaking news? Several outlets are reporting it. The CDC is to announce shortly fully vaccinated people no longer need to wear masks or physically distance in most circumstances.
Phil Nevin may disagree.
It's a great point, Tom.
But again, I guess Phil's the only one that had any symptoms. Do we know how he's doing?
I heard he's doing okay.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
That's the news. Like seven coaches and staff for the Yankees get COVID, and six are asymptomatic and one has mild symptoms. That's the news.
But this is different than what was announced earlier by Fauci, where he said you don't have to wear masks outdoors. Now it says the CDC is going to announce fully vaccinated people no longer need to wear masks or physically distance in most circumstances. That means indoors, too.
But with only other fully vaccinated people?
No. You don't. If you're vaccinated, you don't have to.
They're saying if you're vaccinated.
Yeah, you don't have to wear a mask
or physically distance
in most circumstances.
Well, that would be something.
And the Times says that fully vaccinated Americans no longer need to wear masks or maintain social distance indoors or outdoors, with some exceptions.
I'd like them to take their time on these things, because I feel like we've gotten a lot of messages that then require backtracking on just a bit. So I hope they're really good on this one, because that's a big deal for people to feel like if you've been vaccinated now, you can feel comfortable going to a restaurant, not where, you know, like that's a real thing. That's going to impact people's lives. So, you know, I will say, as much as I've been an avid mask wearer, COVID believer, the other side has always, to me, won some arguments in that we get a lot of mixed messaging from Fauci, the CDC. I hope that when we get to these ones,
this is it. They really are sure about this.
Well, the CDC director, Walensky, said if you are fully vaccinated, you could start doing the things that you would stop doing because of the pandemic. It's great news. It means we're closer to being normal again, which is great. And the Knicks are in the playoffs, which is not normal.
Which is not normal at all. Yeah. The opposite of normal.
It's the opposite of normal. Abnormal. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO has been perfecting both for over 75 years. We have a lot to do. I'm going to take phone calls. Did you see any of it done? What a performance by Gerrit Cole.
He didn't see it.
He didn't see it. Why wouldn't he see it?
Who didn't see it?
He knows it happened.
Well, I asked you, Don, did you see Gerrit Cole, and you didn't say anything.
I'm sorry. I was getting information in my ear, and it cut you out. I apologize. I did see it, yes.
It was phenomenal.
It's a bad matchup, right, because the Rays strike out in their sleep. And that's not the team. That's not the pitcher you want to see in that situation. But he was masterful.
I wonder, Carlin says, so is there any team that will be a litmus test? Because now these are the Rays, who they never beat. They've won this series.
Here's the thing, Michael. I was having this conversation with somebody today. The three best teams in baseball is San Francisco, Oakland, and Boston. Are they really the three best teams in baseball?
No, and the Yankees are right behind Boston right now.
But the point is, I don't think anybody's good. Honestly, I think that right now there's a lot of average in baseball, and we're still trying to figure this out. So I don't know if there's a litmus test. The Dodgers right now are around 500. Same with the Padres. All the teams that we thought were going to be amazing may turn out to be, right? But it's still, Kansas City was the best team in baseball until they dropped 9 in a row, and now they're not. I don't think there's – I'm not even sure there's a very good team in baseball right now.
Mets are pretty good.
Right. That's pretty good. It's not very good.
It's not very. It's short of very. It's very a Jays. Pretty is very a Jays.
No, I don't think that'll be the case a month from now. But right now, I just told you the three teams with the best record are those teams that you were saying, oh, watch out for Boston, Oakland, and San Francisco. Would you be shocked if all three of those teams end up the year 500?
Of those three teams, I believe that Oakland's the best.
All right.
Of those three teams.
Okay.
1-800-919-3776. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, listen up, Jet fans. Starting next week, 98.7 ESPN has your chance to score tickets to the Jets home opener live at MetLife Stadium. So, all right, so DCR, that's DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg, and the Michael Kay Show will be giving away a pair of tickets each day next week. We'll also select one of those winners to be upgraded to season tickets. It's all brought to you by 98.7 ESPN and the New York Jets. Say that again to yourself. Season tickets.
Season tickets.
Yeah. Single-game tickets for every Jets home game at MetLife Stadium are on sale now. Lock in your seats by visiting nyjets.com/tickets and get back to live football this season. Season tickets. All right, so had my third golf lesson today, Don.
Yeah.
And I feel better about it than I did over the first two. And I actually sent Peter video because we actually did drives today with a 7-iron off the tee. And I could see that I don't know if I'm ever going to be great at it, but I could be competent. I don't know if my short game will be competent, but maybe I'll be a John Daly type.
Is that what you're going with? You think Daly?
Yeah.
Big power.
Who's the kid that they're twinning me up with?
So, you can see Michael's shot there, and I told Michael, Don, I thought he did a pretty good job. But then moments after Michael sent me his video, my cousin Ben sent me video of his 4-year-old son, Oliver, hitting the ball. And I was happy for Michael, and then I realized how much better my 4-year-old cousin was than Michael.
Wow.
That was mean. That really, well, you know what? When I was 4, I was running around the concrete jungle of the Bronx. I'm not privileged like little Ben.
Well, Ben and Oliver, they go to a public place. It's just a little public driving
lane. Okay, but we couldn't afford a golf club.
Don, check out the follow-through on
Oliver. I just saw it. It's almost identical to Michael's.
No. Michael's head comes way up, and he pulls the ball completely to the left. Oliver's follow-through goes directly over his shoulder, and his ball goes completely straight.
I had a moment yesterday where usually I pitch to Marco. He was pitching to me, throwing strikes. Now, I cried a little when he did it with his right hand, so it's going to cost millions. But
what do you mean?
Well, because if he was lefty, forget it. Then he'd be a shut-in. That's all he'd be doing. Be a lefty reliever, and then I'd never have to work another day in my life. Right-handed, forget about it. Anybody can do that. But still, it was nice. But and this is great. I mean, really, it's – listen, no, Peter's cousin Oliver's swing is better. But they synced it up nicely on yes, so you can really see that they were close.
But I will tell you this. So my teacher, Bev, she started,
love Bev.
She started taking lessons at 12. I'm 60.
True.
So it's very hard to do this for the first time at 60, but I will continue to do it, Don. You will be wrong.
Bev.
And I have
great.
Arranged an exclusive interview next week with Bev on this show. To break it down for the people. Yeah.
That is big news. We have Bev?
Yep.
I'm really surprised this hasn't been a watch on ENN.
K Golf Watch?
Yeah.
Soon come.
Soon. Bev will teach me the right way.
There you go.
All right, let's go to the phones. I thought that you'd be excited because I actually, was quasi-competent, Don. But then Bev started talking about, the problem with you is that you're really a big guy. You can't just use regular clubs. You have to have custom-made clubs. I said, whoa, pump the brakes.
I'll tell you, every time you speak positive, then the next 30 seconds, I just feel like I've never been more right in my life.
Well, I don't want to spring for a lot of money on clubs because I'm tall. Maybe I could borrow Ken Singleton's old ones. He golfs every day.
You're working with Kenny tonight, huh?
No, not tonight. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, he's actually coming to the stadium.
I saw that tweet.
Yeah, I'm very excited. You know how I feel about Kenny. Kenny's one of nature's noblemen.
That's a nickname.
Nature's nobleman?
Oh, yeah. No one's ever said that about me.
No, and they never will. But he is actually one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. Almost to the point that, for a while there I was suspicious. Because I don't trust people. But then he won me over. He's just a delightful human being.
Hmm.
Do you see the reaction on Twitter from people that he said, he's going to be here, look out, and people love him.
They love him.
They should.
But
he's
it's interesting.
Lovable.
You don't have the same take with him that you have with The Undertaker.
You know what, Don? It's a great take by you.
Red hot The Undertaker came back again and again.
No, but The Undertaker was dead in the ring.
He didn't die. He just
when I
his
walked out
there.
Of that place in Orlando, he was prone in the ring. People
no.
Watch, yeah, he was in the ring dead.
No, he got up and left, and he left his coat, he left his jacket, and his gloves in the ring, and his hat. He wasn't dead.
But Kenny just said he was going to retire once, and I talked him out of it. He didn't actually retire and come back, Don.
That's okay, that's fair. That's different.
Let's go to Mike in Seabright. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. Two things real quick. I like what Peter said, which is rare before with the news of the CDC. Which is good, right? But they are so arbitrary. I don't have her name. I wish I did. She's the head, one of the heads up at the higher ups at the CDC, and she said she had to tell her 16-year-old son this week that he's not going to summer camp because it's not safe. But then they'll turn around 24 hours later, and this news is about to come out.
There are a lot of messages, Mike. You're right.
But Mike,
it's been hard
to
grasp.
Yeah, it's crazy.
In all fairness, though, Mike, some of this is also, though, just the fact that over the last year and a half, they've gained a lot of new information. So while it is frustrating, I can't be angry. The only thing I would say is I just think now at this point, at first, Fauci had to talk nonstop because it was important to get the message out. At this point, I don't think Fauci needs to do 40 interviews a week. I think if he talked once a week.
He's not shy of the camera.
I think the information continues to evolve, but there are a lot of people, a lot of important people that want or need answers immediately. So that's the problem. Like in normal circumstances, this might fly under the radar. You take years to gather up all the information and come out with something definitive. But because there's so many people, all right, masks or not? Can we expand or not? In that moment, you feel like you got to give an answer, and then 2 weeks later, more information comes, and then you feel like you got trapped, and I think that's probably why.
I have a hypothetical, though, that you, Don, this will be up your alley. It'll never happen. But if the Knicks won, what at all this year, would that be a bigger upset in sports history than the Miracle on Ice?
Ooh. It's a great hypothetical.
You know, because on the one hand, they're still an NBA team, right? Like, the thing with the U.S. Olympic team was that they're going up against pros. It was men against boys. But on the other hand, for the Knicks to win this, you're talking about best of seven series.
Right.
Right? In which, all right, they beat Atlanta. Even if they beat the Heat, it wouldn't be, like, nuts.
No, if they beat the Nets, though.
But you'd have to say the crazy next town. Three wins, Peter, would have to be against teams that people would give them no shot. Nets or Bucks or Sixers, and then whoever comes out of the West. That would be unbelievable. I'll tell you what, I think it'd be bigger than the 69 Mets.
That's where I thought Mike from Seabright was going. I don't know, because the Mets were so – they were so bad for so long. I mean, they showed a little bit of an upturn in 1968, but nobody thought they had a chance.
Understood. But again, it's they played a best of five against the Braves.
Right.
And then a best of seven against the Orioles. We're asking the Knicks to win four best of sevens, in which three of those teams will be considered a mismatch. They'd have to beat the Nets, the Bucks, or the Sixers. Two of those three teams, right, to get to the final. And then in the final, it's going to be who? Is there anybody that they would face in the West where you'd say that they'd have a chance to win?
A chance, yes, especially if at that point they'd beaten the Nets. But
right.
To your point,
that's a great point. If they got to the finals, then they could beat anybody.
But let's just be real. If the Knicks were to knock off the Nets in, like, would it be the conference finals? I guess it depends.
Well, if the Nets dropped to third, it could be the second round.
If en route to winning the East, the Knicks knocked off the Nets, they're in the conversation of biggest upset of all time.
And the Nets will be just. I mean, they'd have to hide. They couldn't show their face. How they've torn apart this entire organization to bring in the big three, which I think is the proper move for them to lose, and I don't think they will. For them to lose, it would be the height of a come down. It would be unbelievable. I can't even begin to say how bad it would be. But I don't think it's going to happen.
I'll tell you what, though. Just thinking about that, oh, my God, this city.
How about that? Where would it rank in all-time New York sports celebrations if the Knicks won the finals this year?
God.
See, could it be number
but
one?
It would be a finals with COVID restrictions. So, I mean,
yeah, but
I
the
don't
city
know.
Would
yeah.
still be sick, right? Because here's the thing. The Yankees, there's tons of Met fans, right? When you look at the Giants, ton of Jet fans. I mean, listen, it's... The Knick fandom compared to the Net fan, the whole city would get behind this. It'd be ridiculous. And they hadn't won since 73. Like, who's had a drought like this? You know, the Jets are really the only other team that's had a drought like this. When the Yankees won in 96, it was a big deal, but there were still a ton of Met fans. And, you know, there were still a lot of people that remembered when the Yankees won in 78. It was only 18 years prior to that. Even the Giants Super Bowl, as big a surprise as it was, that first one against the Patriots, they had won in 90. This Knicks team hasn't won since 73, and they do it in upset fashion. Again, it's fantasy.
Fantasy land.
But what fantasy isn't fun to daydream about?
Most of them are.
Some of them, you know?
Yeah. I was going through Instagram again. Anyway, 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Excuse me?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This.
is the Michael K. Show.
I had my third golf lesson today, Don, and I feel better about it than I did over the first two. I sent Peter video because we actually did drives today with a 7-iron off the tee. I don't know if I'm ever going to be great at it, but I could be competent. I don't know if my short game will be competent, but maybe I'll be a John Daly type.
Is that what you're going with? You think Daly? Big power.
Who's the kid they're twinning that with?
So you can see Michael's shot there, and I told Michael, Don, I thought he did a pretty good job. But then moments after Michael sent me his video,
right,
my cousin Ben sent me video of his 4-year-old son, Oliver, hitting the ball. And I was happy for Michael, and then I realized how much better my 4-year-old cousin was than Michael.
Wow.
That was mean.
The Michael K. Show.
I like what Peter said, which is rare.
On 98.7 ESPN.
That was an underrated parenthetical statement in the first hour. He slipped it in, Mike from Seabright. I like what Peter said, comma, which is rare. A lot of people feel that way. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years, and the NBA season ends on Sunday. So the playoffs or the play-in games will be next week.
So Sunday is what? Today's the 13th?
14th. All right, 16th.
So it ends on the 16th, and the playoffs will begin on the 22nd, I believe. So that's 6 days.
Oh, the Nets will be fine.
Yeah.
Recharged, reinvigorated. They'll bring in Wischusen for some kind of motivational talk.
Wow.
So he would turn off the smut and just read to himself?
That's
or
right.
He would have the smut playing in the background?
Or he'd have the game notes for the basketball game he was doing.
So he could just, you're saying he could just read his own game notes?
Yes.
And that would be enough.
Now, do you think he needs, I mean, can he enjoy himself as he's speaking, though, or does he have to hear a tape of himself?
I think we're going too far into this.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know. Right. Well, Zach Wilson's number has been announced.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, is it two?
It's two.
I don't like single-digit quarterback numbers. Never have, never will.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it.
No Elway.
I'm not a fan of it. Sorry. Burt Jones would have been better if he had a double number. Tell me one single-digit quarterback that you love. So what was Elway's
Randall number? Cunningham.
That didn't like it, could have been better with a double number. It throws your balance off.
Oh yeah, I forgot he was 12 in Philly, 7 in Minnesota. How about Matt Ryan?
So you think they hold on to that lead, right? Is what you're saying?
Yeah, if he's a 12, he holds on to the lead.
How about Russell Wilson?
Yeah, he could be an outlier. You know, when you got
how about
me, you
Sonny
got me.
Jurgensen?
There's no facts to this at all.
Donovan
it's
McNabb.
Balance. It's a balance thing, Don. When you have a number on each side of you, you're balanced. Your body is balanced and in sync with itself.
But it's not like a the single of digit is on one side or the other. It's in the middle.
No,
it's
but
balance.
It still throws you off. You need the balance on each side of your ribs.
It didn't throw off Elway, Russell Wilson. Didn't throw these guys off.
Bubby Brister.
All right, you bring up
may
a
have
good
thrown
point.
Him off.
Thank you.
Oh, you know what? And also Steve Young's number 8. So what am I saying? But the 8 is you know, it's got the it's the double snowman that gives
so it
you
balances
balance.
It's reverse balanced. It's,
yeah,
it's like
balancing from the neck, you know, the base of the neck.
So that's
to
why
the
you get Steve Young, you get Troy Aikman, you get Kirk Cousins, of course.
So one would work for you because that would be like a second spine.
Yeah. 2 doesn't because you're off a little. Our very own Marley Rivera reporting, Yankee shortstop Gleyber Torres, who was held out of Wednesday night's game out of an abundance of caution, will not play tonight against the Rays, sources told ESPN.
Hmm.
So I do not know if that means that's a positive test. I mean, talk about a guy who has not had luck with this. He had the virus and had the shot.
Right, but as long as he's okay. But yeah, he could be positive.
But
I mean, I would guess that's the case because I'm sure they would have gotten a result back by now.
Take some phone calls.
Please.
Shall we?
Let's go to Daniel in Union. Always brings it hard. Daniel.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Good. How you doing?
So I want to ask you, Michael. I don't know if Don and Peter saw this, but I found the Clint Frazier ejection last game. Very strange. Because, I mean, first of all, Clint Frazier is batting 150. The pitch was close, and he didn't really say that much, so it was a quick hook.
Mm-hmm.
But come on, you still shouldn't be getting ejected if you're just a terrible player.
Well, I mean, he's having a bad time. He's not terrible. But, Daniel, if you bring this, I'm sure you noticed what Boone said at the end of the game. I had never heard Aaron Boone dismiss his own player like that because they were short, Gleyber Torres, obviously, and he was not happy that Clint Frazier got thrown out. Now, I don't know if it was warranted that he got thrown out. I have no idea if he said the magic word. Didn't say – he wasn't very demonstrative. Bill Miller is a guy with a short fuse. He had a bad night behind the plate. But I was really taken aback by Aaron Boone's really dismissive tone when he was asked about it. He said something like, "Let's just leave it at that." You know, he should know the situation. Let's leave it at that. So he was not happy. He was not happy at all, Don. I don't know if you heard Boone's.
No,
cut,
he seemed like he. The way I took it as it was like a selfish act by Clint. They're shorthanded,
right.
and now you put yourself above the team by having to say whatever he said to get thrown out of the game. And he did not. Usually, Boone's knee jerk is to defend the player, but you don't want to defend the indefensible, right? So I think he did the right thing. If he's really upset about it, say something.
Well, if he said what he said to the media, I can't even imagine what he said to Clint. And my advice to Clint Frazier, although he's not calling me for it, you better step lightly. I mean, as Daniel said in his nasty way, you know, you're hitting 150. And if you're gonna do something like that when the team does not need anybody thrown out, I mean, what they're working against these 3 days in Tampa, it's pretty stunning. And you could even see it on Gerrit Cole's face that what they're all going through. You better really dot your I's and cross your T's if you're Clint Frazier. You can't be messing around like this.
Now, I know you're not supposed – it's supposed to be an ejection if you argue balls and strikes.
Right.
Now, was it just that? Because he clearly was arguing it, but he wasn't demonstrative. So my guess would be the reason there was no latitude is he must have said something. And if Boone found – and when Boone went and talked to the umpire, if the umpire said he said this, then I could think, well, come on. It's one thing if you wanted to argue balls and strikes and you were given – no room, but if he said something, then that Boone's probably upset about it. Like, why did you have to go there? And that's what I think happened, right? They usually give you a little bit of room to argue, right?
Except that I've been told that Bill Miller does. In baseball they call it the red blank, but I'll say it's a short fuse. So he doesn't throw many people out though, but he does not suffer arguments. He doesn't want to hear it. So I was surprised he threw him out because the umpire also, Don, should know the situation that a team is in. Now, that doesn't mean that Clint Frazier could say, you know, your mother should do this and not get thrown out. But if it's borderline, you kind of got to turn away. Why throw him out there? But I guess Bill Miller's thinking, who is this guy? I look up at the scoreboard, he's hitting 146. He's going to argue with me about a strike. And by the way, Bill Miller had an awful night as the home plate umpire. That was a strike to Clint Frazier. And when he went back and looked at it, he'd see. That was a strike. That was in the box. I mean, he was calling pitches out of the box, strikes all day. That was a strike. So Clint Frazier was wrong about arguing. He's probably upset that he's struggling. But, no, you got to get the team comes first in team sports. I'm sorry, John McEnroe could be what John McEnroe was. If he wants to be selfish, it's him. But when you jeopardize a whole team, that's not good.
No.
Not good at all. Let's go to Let's go to John in Valley Stream. Johnny.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I got two quick comments and a question. Don, I'd like to personally thank you. Last Thursday, I won the contest to be on a Zoom call. And A-Rod's one of my top five all-time favorite baseball players. And you actually asked him one of the questions I sent in.
Oh, cool.
So if we ever... Forever at a public gathering, I owe you a drink, my friend. I really, you
well,
made
it was my pleasure. That was a lot of fun. Those guys did a great job.
And it was fantastic. And Peter, the other day when you put that hypothetical, when they were talking about the unearned run, and you put that hypothetical, your baseball IQ skyrocketing over the past year, my friend. Just want to let you know that.
Look at this!
Wow,
love you, brother.
Thank you, John.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Thank you, guy. You guys are the best, man. I listen to you every day, and I try to call as much as I can. Listen, quick question. All three of them. I'm going to take a question from Michael K. If you guys were in a foxhole, who's the one pro athlete in your life, favorite pro athlete you want next? Thanks for taking my call, guys. Have a great day.
I mean, does it have to be somebody we know? Or
No, I would just think it's anybody.
You know who I take in the you're going to laugh. You know who I would take in the foxhole with me?
Who's that?
Showalter. He'd get me out. He's not the biggest, strongest guy, but he'd get me out. He'd figure out a way to get me out.
Over Don.
He said pro athlete. Did you hear? He said pro athlete. Don played for Ramapo. That's not a pro sport.
Wait, when was Showalter had a pro career?
Well, yeah, he was a professional baseball player in the minor leagues. He gets paid. That's a professional. And then he was a manager in the big leagues.
I'm sorry. I didn't know about Buck Showalter's minor league career. Apologies.
But you said not Don. So you're jumping over to another thing that's unarguable. Don did not get paid to play sports.
But I'm just saying, Showalter's barely a pro athlete.
Oh, my good. If it wasn't for Don Mattingly, he would have been a major league first baseman.
Kind of Captain Literal Man, though, here.
Thank you. Thank you, Don.
I mean, on whose side?
He said professional athlete. I would think managers can be included in that.
Oh, really?
So you're the guy. You, Peter, you.
I want to bring in Andrew. Andrew, if someone said name a pro athlete, would you go manager or coach?
No, that's
absurd.
Yeah, pro athlete to me is a player.
Thank you.
All right, you're gonna have to come up with somebody else then, Michael. I've been outvoted.
All right, then you come up with a guy.
Well, do we have to know them or just off of watching them play? Because
watching them play.
God, I don't know.
I'll take Lawrence Taylor, he's the last person
I want in the foxhole. You think he's saving me?
I would take O'Neill.
I'm going to go with a guy that I know, and he was a great player, but not a Hall of Fame player.
I'll take Cone.
I'll take Carl Banks.
Look at
that. That's a guy that I think would have my back.
You know what this is, Peter? Just a desperate cry for free gear. That's what it is.
That is not true.
Of course it is.
You think that is not
true?
Yeah.
See, what I'd say, Peter, we argue for the sake of arguing because it's good talk radio. He goes right after my knees every time. He makes it seem like I'm the most disingenuous person there's ever been.
No, not most, but top 20.
Have I given Peter, we haven't known each other a long time, but I think enough information has been gathered. Do you think I'm throwing Carl Banks out so I'll get some starter gear, or that I was genuinely believe that he would save my life in a foxhole?
I don't even think you want starter gear.
There's evidence to that.
Yeah. I think you're good. It's you personally like Carl and believe he's a good man.
Very
good. You guys
know
who I'm going in with.
Well, who are you going with?
It's going Larry Bird.
No, Iron Mike.
You know, that's not bad.
I need the era because there's certain eras he would not save you.
Well, no. There's certain eras in which you're not coming out of the foxhole alive.
Right. Even if there was no war going on.
There's certain eras that he would be the one to kill you.
That's what I mean. You're going to the foxhole and he's coming out alone. But right now, I feel really good in the foxhole with Tyson.
Now, you brought up the clubhouse confidential. I was thinking about this the other day, and maybe this is a weird thing to talk about, but it needs to be discussed.
The fact that you claim that A-Rod spoke about Jennifer Lopez in the confidential?
No. So it is about A-Rod. I don't know how you knew that. So there's word that's coming out now, right? And again, you know, everybody who's listening within the sound of my voice or watching on Yes, you know that I'm vindictive, all right?
That's right. Sure you are.
So now Bennifer is back together. And there's stories coming out that Ben Affleck was contacting and hitting on Jennifer Lopez while she was with Alex Rodriguez.
Wow. Huh.
So if you're Alex Rodriguez, are you hunting down Ben Affleck? I think I am.
Yeah, we're going to have words.
I mean, there's going to be a come to Jesus moment. I'm sorry. Excuse me, you little punk actor? This is what you did? When somebody's going out with somebody, you're sending a love notes? Let's go.
Nah.
Really?
Nothing you can do.
No, I think just out. You know, you just pummel the guy publicly. And then you take
like physically pummel?
Absolutely.
First of all, hold on. If we're going to go with the rumors here, by the way,
right.
This was not the first rumor related to A-Rod and J-Lo. So, number one, there's other rumors out there.
regardless. You mean the Madison, the lady?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, but there was. We don't know what went on there.
Exactly. But nor do we know what's going on with Affleck.
Good point.
All I'm saying is this. Whatever Alex did or did not do, maybe he was the perfect fiance. It is my opinion that if your girl, let's just humor this whole thing. J-Lo just decided to move on. And let's suppose Ben Affleck was trying to break it up. And J-Lo went for it. Ultimately, you got to man up and just hold that L. She still ultimately chose to go.
Just take
the
L.
Yeah, but he pushed her. He pushed her.
Yeah, but yeah, you can't be doing that when you know.
You can't be going after a player that signed for another team.
Yeah, you got to wait it out. That's like the anti-Van Gundy, right? You don't talk about a job that's not open yet.
Yeah, but it makes you look weak now to bother responding.
No. What
no,
you're doing is
no.
You're punishing.
He's got to pay a price for
man,
doing that.
It's breaking the man code, and that's the punishment for breaking the man code.
Breaking his jaw.
Yeah.
Nah, I think now, if that's the case, you're Alex, you just go out and you find yourself the best, coolest, most beautiful woman in the world, and you keep it moving, man.
Yeah, but you're kind of running out of real estate.
Fabulous to drop you.
You know what I'm saying?
Say it again.
I mean, you're running out of real estate here. We're talking about Jennifer Lopez. I mean, you eventually start trying to top yourself. You're gonna hit the ceiling at some point, right?
And the ceiling is the roof.
And also, Michael, Twitter has really called us both out as frauds.
Why?
How did I not say Greg Buttle? That's an awful job out of me.
All right, awful job. How did they call me as a fraud?
And bad job out of you for not saying Rick DiPietro.
Wow.
And so I can't jump you because you could jump me. I'm not. I called Greg a father figure, but I didn't watch Greg the same way I watched Carl, so it was a little bit different. But you love DiPietro.
Let's take this a step further.
Flat out forgot him.
But wait a minute. Here's my defense. My love of DiPietro has nothing to do with what he used to do for a living.
No, but the
he's
question
just a
is,
friend
what,
of mine.
What
I didn't
professional
even know him when he
athlete
played for the
would
Islanders.
You want in the foxhole? He's a professional athlete that you love and adore. That
yep.
should have been the answer.
And we'd have a
my
lot of
answer
laughs,
should
too.
Have been Greg Buttle.
We'd have so a Don, lot of laughs. Just well, to, I'll switch to DiPietro then.
So, Don, just to, in closing here, I'm the only one who got it right.
No, but you should have said Ric Flair. That's what Twitter's saying.
No, I'm closer with Tyson than I am with Ric Flair.
Is that true?
Yeah, and I love Mike. I idolize. I mean, Mike was like my guy forever. I love the Nate. Don't get me wrong. Love the Nate, but he was never my guy. Tyson's
I'm
my guy.
A lot of things. I'm glad that this conversation took place because I'm shocked at Peter's take on A-Rod. I'm on Team A-Rod on this. He should go after Ben Affleck. And
well, I didn't say I'm anti.
Thing.
Hold on. I'm Team A-Rod. I don't know Affleck. I like A-Rod.
But you're just saying that he should just, well, you know what, no loss.
The problem is if a girl leaves you, regardless of what anyone else did, she left you. You have to just take
no,
hell.
Because she left him because Affleck spurred her on to leave.
That is still her doing.
No, but
but with impetus from Affleck, you don't do that with a married woman.
See, that's,
you don't
see, that's
blame,
the point.
You don't,
it's not,
I, never,
I am not beating you up because you took my girl.
Yeah, you
I'm
are.
Beating you up that you started the process before we broke up and you broke the man code. What you want is baseball rules. You want rules with no punishment. I want rules with punishment. He broke the man code. Alex can handle himself. And listen, he's in for a dance, right? Ben's a big guy.
No, Alex would kill him.
But
kill
I'm just
him.
Saying that it's going to take some effort. But
no,
that's the thing is, no, I'm not. It's not out of jealousy that you took my girl. Is that you talked to my girl while I was with her? No, that's a violation, man.
Listen, it is.
This and, will not and, stand.
No, listen, it is, and karma will come around. Like,
the karma
you're
punishment,
karma
Michael.
Take care of it when you can take care of it yourself.
Yeah,
no,
that's karma for
looks
people
weak.
Who can't defend
it looks
themselves,
weak.
Okay?
It all right? looks weak.
If it Alex was Webster, then you know what? You gotta help karma. But he's Alex. Alex can defend himself and take care of his own business. He doesn't have to rely on karma.
Yeah, but but what I'm telling you is, even if you're right that the guy who did it or girl who did it shows poor morals and it's terrible and it's a violation, when you then see the person out, after the woman has left you and is with that person, and you start a fight with that person, you look weak.
No.
That's how it looks.
I think you what Alex weak. Should do, in closing, because Andrew's yelling at me to break again. In closing, Alex should take the bat that he hit the 696 home run with and said, hey, Ben, you want a souvenir? And then give it to him.
Now, one final question. If the other rumors were true and A-Rod was doing whatever he was doing, also, does he still have the right to come after Ben?
Yeah, he does, because Ben doesn't know that.
Yeah, Ben didn't do that because he knew Alex was messing around. He did it because he's a bad guy.
All of this is why the smartest move is keep it moving.
Wow, you are such a...
Keep it moving.
Wow. I there's so many words I want to use, and I won't.
On to the next one. All you can do.
That should be a bumper sticker. Keep it moving.
Keep it moving. All right, now you're crossing guard. Okay. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on. Yes, at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, so I've got to clear up this A-Rod stuff, so I've got more questions for Peter. So Ben Affleck is contacting Jennifer Lopez. Let's say that Jennifer doesn't decide to leave and stays with A-Rod, and Ben Affleck continues to contact her. What do you do then?
Wait, you're saying he's contacting her.
He's still pushing, he's still trying, and she's still staying in a relationship. What do you do then?
Oh, if your girl doesn't want this
right. Wants no
action.
Part of it. And he keeps
she
trying.
She wants no part of it?
Right.
Then you have every right to knock him out.
Okay. Now, one of our listeners, TP, goes, on what planet would Alex kill Ben? We've seen Alex fight. Just being an athlete means nothing. Listen, TP, Alex Rodriguez is one of the strongest dudes I've ever been around. He's built like a tight end. He doesn't have to be Mike Tyson as a boxer. I think if he got in a fight with Ben Affleck would end up not breathing. I'm just saying.
But to TP's point, you just don't. That's just not how fights work.
Well, how do we know Ben can fight?
We don't. But what if he can?
Even if he's a boxer, Alex is going to track him down at some point, snap his neck, and then throw garbage down his throat. If you're really angry, Peter, and you're really strong, there's a good chance you'll win.
Well, that's true, and Alex would have more anger going into it than Ben would.
Right.
So that would work towards Alex's advantage. I'm just saying you don't know. Sometimes the strong guy gets knocked out. It happens.
Now, I love working here. I really do. I love everybody that works here. So our PD, Ryan Hurley, he's on a text chain. He had joined late and said, what is this about? And then, like, Andrew had some emoji, and... So Ryan said, what does this mean? And then me in my profane way, I said it means, and I used three initials. Don knows exactly what
yes.
I'm saying.
So do I.
And then, you know when you use LOL and you're really not LOLing, but I actually laughed out loud. He wrote, now remember, this is essentially one of my bosses, all right? He goes, what a disrespectful clod. How great is that? I really am a disrespectful clod. I deserved it,
so well.
And I laughed about it.
Yeah, it was the three arrows up, which I didn't know what it meant. I'm assuming the three arrows meant something referring to the previous text.
Yes. Yeah, I was just pointing to that text because I think that is the point.
Right.
Yeah.
But did you like what I told them the three arrows
great,
meant, Andrew?
Great response by you. And it can mean that from now on if you want to just send three arrows to mean that.
Oh boy, let's go to Damon in New Jersey. Damon,
hey, how you guys doing? Long time listener. You all three are legends, in my opinion.
Thanks.
I just wanted to comment about the Knicks. Like how we're playing, I'm a Knicks fan, lifetime Knicks fan. I think we're playing great. I think if we get the Atlanta Hawks, we'll be better off than the other teams, the other seedings. But I do have a question for you guys because the offseason is going to be tricky. Should we extend Randle? And what do we do with the other players on the roster? Who is more important? Because a lot of these players have one-year deals, and you got to make a lot of decisions on the offseason. So I'm just curious to get you guys' opinion on that. Thank you.
Well, I think you try to extend Randall, especially after the second year, because it wouldn't be nearly the max contract it would be after the third. And now he's proven himself to be a commodity, so even if you want to move him, you can move him. Last year, I'm not sure you could have moved him off that type of season. This year, you could move him. He's been an iron man. He leads the NBA at 37.3 minutes per game. There's only 48 minutes in a game. And he missed one game. In an era of load management, he wants to play all the time. The game he missed was because of a thigh contusion. I think all the one-year contract guys, you clear them off the roster and you bring them back at your own discretion. You've got to reload this team. This team is nice. It gets everybody excited. But there's guys that you keep. Obviously, you keep R.J. Barrett. You keep Quickly. You keep Toppin. You keep the guys that are part of what you're building. But the one-year contract guys, they all go and they come back if you want them to come back. You don't give them massive raises. They've been role players for you, and they've done a nice job playing their role. I don't think they're stars. I don't think they're stars.
The other thing you got to figure out, too, is, all right, what would be happening here, Michael? I think this is a legitimate question. Where would the Knicks finish if there were another 10 games left on the schedule?
Well, I don't think they'd overtake the third-place team. That's what you mean?
Well, meaning, no, I don't. I'm sure some Knicks fans think they might, but they could also drop a little bit down. I mean, you're talking about an 82-game schedule. I think the Heat could be better next year. I think the Celtics could be better next year. I mean, you got to assess all this because we played a 72-game season, mm-hmm. kind of a different way of going about things with no fans and all that. So now you look and you say, all right, I don't think the Bucks, Nets, or Sixers are going anywhere. So how much better are the Pacers going to be? The Celtics going to be? The Heat? How much better are they going to be? Hornets. And so where do you figure in when you tack on 10 more games to the schedule when there's going to be certain expectations? You're not going to take anybody by surprise, right? So you just can't assume all the time that the next step is up. You've got to make sure that that next step is up. But I don't know if you just can't sit there and go, we got a good team, so we don't have to do anything. I think that would be a mistake. You got to try to improve.
No, it's not a let's not do anything situation at all. Michael in the Bronx. Michael. Mike.
Hello. Michael. Hey, yes.
How you doing?
Hey, yes. Hey, great. How you doing, guys?
Good.
What's up?
I just want to let you guys know. I'm not a sports fan. I don't like sports. I have nothing to do with sports. I heard you guys one day. You guys are fantastic.
Well, thank you, man.
Thanks. You guys are fantastic. You have me. Every time I go home, I have to put you guys on.
So now a non-sports fan stumble upon our show.
But you guys are fantastic together. But I have one thing.
Yep.
With Ben Affleck.
Okay.
Ben Affleck was Daredevil. You don't think he knows how to fight? He practiced blind.
Michael, you know that Daredevil is fiction. He's acting. He was also Batman. And
I understand.
At it.
I understand. But if you get into a fight with Will Smith, you don't think he has Muhammad Ali's?
No.
What?
You
think that Will Ferrell's a great race car driver? No.
It's called acting, but I'm right? Sure he's been behind the wheel. And he can at least go 90 miles an hour with no fear.
Well, I could too. I wasn't in the movie.
What's this guy's name, Kenny?
Michael.
Michael?
Yeah.
I love you. Love you. I hope we have you for life. That was the single most moronic call of all time.
But I got people say, oh, well, he played Batman. Yeah, he played Batman.
Also, he wasn't Daredevil. Wasn't Ryan Reynolds Daredevil?
Ryan Reynolds was
Deadpool.
Deadpool,
who's very good,
and he was also the Green Lantern, which didn't go well.
My favorite tweet that we got about this was, "I saw Ben Affleck in The Town. I'm not messing with him."
I guess people don't understand. It's fake.
It's
not a documentary. It's fake. Like. When Will Smith played Muhammad Ali, they had guys that fell down when he threw a fake punch. Right. And by the way, Graphics Joker brings up a great point. I'm a great football coach. If you watch Grown Ups 2, I'm phenomenal.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah. All right, let's go. That guy's dead. I mean, I could say it over and over in a real game. Wow. When I saw he said Ben Affleck's a daredevil, I thought Ben Affleck, you know, and also the fact that Ben Affleck's a big Red Sox fan, don't you think that gives A-Rod even more impetus?
I don't think that plays into his rage.
But there's rage there. Wouldn't you agree, Don? Because I know you're a jealous type. You would have rage.
Well, I'm advocating that there should be a throwdown.
I just know.
Don, one of our listeners had a great idea.
What is it?
A-Rod should just call up Jennifer Garner. Go get a drink.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
Or Ana de Armas.
Two wrongs don't make a right. What's beating up A-Rod? I mean, what's beating up Ben Affleck?
It's punishing him for breaking the bro code. This is like baseball, where you have rules, but there's no punishment, so everybody breaks the rules. You don't do that. Until they break up, and then you could flirt, and then you could, but don't go after a girl that's already taken by somebody else. And if you do, you pay the price. Is there no accountability?
I've never felt closer to Don in my life, ever. Let's towel off. This is one of those towel off segments. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
I love our listeners. So Big Cat, he writes on Twitter, Ben Affleck's a good fighter, same as Robert Downey is a playboy billionaire with the gift of flight, courtesy of his many high-tech iron suits.
I had a special moment.
Mike Gaffney, our resident comedian, says, I think I could beat up Jamie Foxx because he was in the movie Ray, so obviously he's blonde.
That's not right.
That's a great point, though. I, by the way, dare you to challenge Daniel Day-Lewis's left foot.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
The man can go left on anyone.
Unbelievable. And, you know, talk about living your best life. So Jennifer Lopez breaks up with A-Rod, and she goes back with her boyfriend from 17 years ago. And A-Rod today just shelled out $750 million to buy the Timberwolves. His buddy put in $750, so $1.5. They're officially buying the Timberwolves. So, I lost my fiance. Okay, here's $750 million. Let's complete the deal. I don't know.
Well, it depends on how. If this was the love of his life and he's devastated, then I don't know. Does buying the Timberwolves make him feel better? Although when people, the advice you'd get whenever you're like really depressed or you lose something, go out and buy something nice. Make you feel better. Go buy something nice.
Bought an NBA team.
NBA team.
Something nice. Now, who better
to
ring in on this topic than John Tush? Yes, John.
Long time no talk, guys. How are you?
Great. You?
Good. So here's my point. Kind of defending Peter's point. So in college, you guys know that my background is wrestling. So as wrestlers, we were out one night, and we got into a little conflict with the football team at a party. Now, our 134-pounder, who probably weighs 150 pounds in the offseason, had a little conflict with one of the football linebackers who weighed about 240 pounds. And that individual later became a professional football player in the NFL.
Going to need a name.
I can't give you a name.
Did he have a good career or was it quick?
Good career.
Wow. So Brian Urlacher, continue.
And I begged, I begged him. Don't fight this kid. He's, first of all, he's crazy. Second of all, he's a wrestler, and you can't beat him. And he wound up kicking the stuffing out of the linebacker. Now, the point is, you never know. Size doesn't matter. And fighting is a very, very particular skill. Now, I have no idea who would win Affleck and Rodriguez, but it's a very specific thing.
But here's my point, John. Is that whether you can beat him up or not should not be the deciding factor. You're either in or you're out. Like, if you're outraged and you feel like that you were violated in some way, then you've got to step up. Not like, oh, if he's smaller than me, I'm going to go beat him up, but I'm going to take the high road if he's bigger than me or he can fight better than me. I don't think you have that luxury.
Also,
if the bro code was violated, you have an obligation to step up. And if you get beat up, you get beat up, but you got to do the right thing.
Now, also, in your story, John, the kid was a wrestler. So he obviously knew how to combat. What exactly is Ben Affleck bringing to the party?
All true. We don't know. That's absolutely true. And, Don, I completely agree with you. No, there has to be a fight. There has to be a fight.
If I did take down Ben, then I go on every single talk show possible to tell everybody why that happened and what a bad guy he is.
Now, once you get him on the ground, you put the boots on him and you don't stop.
Don, do you seek this out or do you wait till you just run into each other?
I'll make his head be on a swivel. Don't tell him it's coming.
No, I don't. I'm not jumping him from behind. I'm going to confront him. Now, my level of effort to go hunt him down, I don't want to be predatorial about it, but I'm sure they'll cross paths or you just make it known. Maybe you make a phone call to him and say, listen, I thought what you did was wrong. The next time I see you, I'm going to punch you square in the forehead.
So what you're saying, Don, if I can interpret it, and correct me if I'm wrong, so you would go with goodwill hunting him down, right?
Wow.
That's right.
That was
absolutely
something.
Absolutely right.
You know, I'm here all week. I really am. Let's go to Eric in Mount Vernon. Eric.
Mount Vernon.
Uh-oh.
E. Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Hello. Hey, what's happening, brothers?
All good.
All right. So, first off, I honestly don't believe Alex would stand a chance because Ben Affleck is from South Boston.
No, he's not. He's not. He's not. He's from Cambridge. He's from Cambridge. He's not a Southie.
Yeah. He played a Southie.
He played a Southie.
Again, we're looking at his acting career like that applies to this. You know.
But isn't some of his acting career, didn't he grasp some of the material from his life and put it into that script?
But Eric, he's
well, he's been to Southie.
He got into a fight somehow in Boston.
Okay, but he's from Cambridge. You can't be more bougie. I mean, come on, he's from Cambridge.
I don't know. Maybe some Boston idiot who's listening could weigh in because I'm a Yankee fan and I love Alex. But I
so what do you think Alex should do?
Go back to doing hair and nail appointments. I don't know, and worry about the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Thank you. Agree.
Any girl he wants.
Exactly.
But maybe the one he wanted is the one that he just lost.
Yeah, but she chose to leave then, so you got to hold the L.
Because Ben put on the full court press.
It's not about. It has nothing to do with the fact she left. He violated you. You don't do that.
You don't
start making moves on somebody that you're with. Even if you're on your way to being, you wait it out. That's not the right thing to do.
I agree 100%. But you are not judge, jury, and executioner.
But then who is?
The world.
I'm not leaving this up to karma. I'm not leaving this up to fate. This isn't the judicial system where eventually, he's going to be prosecuted for what he did and go to jail. No. These are the life things. Well, listen, he didn't do anything illegal, but we all know what he did was wrong. And how you get punished for that is determined by how angry the person is that's the victim here. And if it were me, I'd be red hot.
So hold on. Just tell me this, though. Whether you agree or disagree with doing it, you don't think that you come off as looking a little bit, as the kids say, butt hurt?
No, because I'm going to see. That's why I'd go on every talk show after to say this has nothing to do with her ending up with Ben. You won't believe what Ben did. And then when everybody finds out that's the reason he got the beat down, everybody would agree that the right thing happened, because you don't do that.
All right, let's take a break, because I don't want to go over the clock again, because then Andrew's going to have a beat down of me. It's Kay. We got to talk about Garrett Cole's performance last night. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.